Okay, everyone, good evening. Welcome to the Haftarah of Yisro this evening, which is from Sefer Yeshayahu. I hope everyone has received the four pages that I sent out. Okay. You have it, Camille? Okay. At the first page, has the central psukim of the Haftorah, which is Yeshayahu chapter 6. And it would appear from this Haftorah that these are the opening words of God's message to Yeshayahu. The obvious question being, why wouldn't that be chapter 1? Chapter 6, most commentaries say, is the beginning of Sefer Yeshayahu. Most books start with chapter 1, but chapter 6 begins with a devastating prophecy. We'll take a look at shortly. The first message after God chooses Yeshayahu is really a devastating prophecy. Abravanel says that Yeshayahu purposely wanted to keep off the front page of his book. He didn't want to open the book with this devastating prophecy. Okay, but other than that, the beginning speaks of his initiation as a prophet, how he became a prophet, and why God chose him. All right, usually that should be chapter 1. It's, by the way, Yechezkel also does not begin with his first prophecy. Yechezkel also starts a little later into his book with God choosing him as his prophet. And ironically, Yirmiyahu, after chapter 1, the whole rest of the book, the next 51 chapters, are so convoluted and so out of order, but at least chapter 1 is the beginning of Yirmiyahu, right? Because that's where God chooses him as a Navi, all right? You know, when you read about Tzfanya or Micha or Daniel, you know, you're reading about a prophet that's already a homegrown prophet. He's Mr. Prophet, and he's giving you a prophecy from chapter 1 to the end of his book. But in Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, and Yechezkel, all three of these prophets tell you how they became a prophet. Like Shmuel, remember, he became a prophet during the night. God appeared to him and told him what's going to happen to Eli's family. So the opening prophecy of Yeshayahu would appear to be chapter 6. Okay, it's hard to entertain any other possibility. And that chapter begins as follows. Bishnas Mos HaMelech Uzziyahu, in the year of the death of Uzziyahu, I'm just reading now the first few psukim that should not appear here. Okay. In the first, the year of the death of Uzziyahu, Ve'ere es Hashem Yosheva Kiseiram V'nisa V'shulav Mele'im es HaHichal. And I looked and I saw God sitting on the throne, and the hem of his garment came into the Heichal, filled the Heichal. Right? Now, already you can see this is seriously anthropomorphic. Of course, it's a dream. God doesn't have a hem, God doesn't have a garment, and God doesn't sit on the throne. Mm-hmm. But this is a vision where he envisions something like this about God. Okay? And according to, not important for our Haftorah, but according to most opinions, this does not mean the actual death of Uzziyahu, but the tzora'as of Uzziyahu. Okay, the targum to Bishnas Mos is de'it naga, when he got the nega of tzora'as. The only reason why I'm mentioning this is insofar as it's one opinion of what we're about to read, that what happened when he became leprous is that Israel was stricken with an earthquake. That earthquake is mentioned by a number of other prophets. You know that Israel stands right above a fault line, and there are some devastating earthquakes throughout its history. So I'll get back to this earthquake shortly. And it says, he said, in his dream, he saw Seraphim Omdim Mima'alo. He saw Seraphim are types of angels. Some say with the body of fire, like Soraph. Some say with the body of snakes, Okay, a seraph, S-E-A-R-P-H, is an English word today. And usually it means some kind of an angel, all right? By the way, the plural of seraph is seraphim in English. It's one of the very few English words that are not pluralized with an S, but like in Hebrew with an im. The other one is cherubim. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so also a Hebrew word. Seraphim omdim mimalo, sheish knafayim le'echod. Each one has six wings. And b'shtayim mechase panav, two wings cover their face. U'shtayim mechase raglav, two wings cover their feet. U'shtayim yofef, and the other two wings they use to fly. There's so much symbolism going on here, but it would sidetrack us from our main point of what to do with the Haftarah. V'kora ze'el zevi amar kadosh 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 Hashem tzvakos melochol aretz kivado. Perhaps one of the most famous psukim in all of Nevi'im. We say it every day, four times. One in the Kedusha of Shacharis, one in the, what's called the Yotzer of Shacharis, before Kriyat Shema, one in the Kedusha of Mincha, and one at the end of Davening, right before Aleinu, in what's known as Kedusha de Sidra. This is the central pasuk of our Haftarah, because this is what connects to our Torah reading. Our Torah reading says we are Mamleches Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh. We were a kingdom of Kohanim and a holy people. I submit to you that while the word Kadosh is probably something that everybody knows means holy, not so fast. It's a very, very difficult word to identify in Hebrew. It describes holy harlots in the Torah. It says, Lo yeh kedeshim b'Yisrael. A Kadesha. Remember, Yehuda thought that he asked his friend, where was the Kadesha that was on the road that liked to pay her? Right? Okay. Usually, etymologists explain the word Kadosh to mean Mizuman, someone that's ready. A Kadesha is always ready for hire. Right? Lahakdish means to set something up, to lizamein. Okay? So Shmuel David Lutzato in his commentary says that it's connected to the word fire, like kod vayikod esh, right? And it seems the Chazal agree with this. Mm-hmm. Pen tikdash, the Gemara darshans, pen tukad esh. In the ancient world, what you thought was holy, you burnt, like a burnt offering, right? You think these commentaries think that the word burning and holiness are somehow interconnected. Okay, so this is what the Seraphim do. They call to one another, and they say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh three times, and Hashem Tzvakos Melochol Aretz Kivodo. Right. Now, what the definition of Kohanim also comes through here. Vatem tihyu li mamleches Kohanim, v'goy Kadosh. We are a nation of Kedoshim, which means that just as the Kohen serves the religious needs of the rest of the Jews, the Jewish people on the whole, we are Mamleches Kohanim, this is in the Kuzari, are meant to serve the religious needs of the rest of the world. It is the job of the Jew to bring God to the rest of the world. Not to bring Judaism to the rest of the world. No, it's an impossible job, and it's not one we were ever tasked with. It's to bring God to the rest of the world, to bring seven mitzvos b'nei Noach to the rest of the world. Okay? All right? So that is what Kedusha is, and this is why Yeshayahu's chapter 6, his opening prophecy, is the Haftorah of Yisrael. Yeshayahu's message of chapter 6, and by the way, his message of chapter 1 also, is that B'nai Yisrael have not lived up to their task. There's no way that they can serve as a nation to bring holiness to the rest of the world if they're not even bringing holiness to themselves. The Jewish people have not lived up to their calling, and Yeshayahu has been moved to drive them towards that calling. Okay. All right. Just a few points about what the angels do. And it's actually something of a tangent of what I wanted to do in the beginning of this presentation. Okay. When it says Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh three times in the Pasuk, right? If you look at page 1A for a moment, okay. Right, you'll see 1A and then one, back to 1 for a moment. All right, you see it says 1A at the top. The Karazeh El Zev Yamar, the angels have to call to one another. They cannot say this themselves. Chevri, can you imagine what's going to happen to these poor angels if they say it themselves? They'll burn up. They're made of fire, but they will turn so hot if they don't do it together that they will just extinguish themselves. They will just get too hot and just disappear. So they have to call to one another and say, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Now, why the three times? So take a look at the Targum with me. This is source number 1A. Do you see it on the second page? It says, Umekablin dein min dein. Tell me when you can recognize what I'm saying. They call to one another, v'omrin, and this is what they say. Kadish bishmeim roma ila'a. Base Shchinte, that God is holy in his upper abode. Kadish alara ovad givrute, God is holy in the lower spheres here on earth. Kadish le'olam ulialmei olmaya, Hashem's hakos malya kolara zivyukare. Does this sound familiar?
Sounds like others.
This is in, this is Uvalotzion. We start to say towards the end of davening. Rashi at the end of Maseches Sota says that we translate those psukim into Aramaic as an attempt to bring Kedusha into our world. We're just about to go out to work. We're finishing davening. And it's sort of like the minimum amount of learning I want you to do before you go about your business. Sit around, learn a little Targum, learn a Pasuk, and see that God is holy in three realms. In the realm of the infinite, the Be'asar Beis Shchinte, like the Beis HaMikdash Shalmala, Yerushalayim Shalmala, and then God extends that Kedusha into this world, into the physicality of this world. And then in time, in space and in time, okay? God's holiness extends to space and time. But holiness in time is greater than holiness in space because God's space cannot be quantified by people. We cannot recognize that space because God takes up all space. God can't be limited to an individual space. This is where Christianity goes wrong by saying that God took on a physical form, right? So, and God in holiness and time is the very fact that his ineffable name, while God carries many different names that are descriptive, the one actual name of God, which is Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, right? Yud and the hey and the vav and the hey is so hidden from us that we can't even pronounce it the way it's spelled, right? That is a combination of Hayah, Hoveh, V'Yihyeh, was, is, and will be. It's something that's impossible for us to comprehend, right? How it's all of infinity is wrapped up into one moment. So the fact for us in a physical sense is that the holiness in time is Shabbos, and by extension, the holidays. The holiness in space is the Mishkan, and we do not build the Mishkan on Shabbos because holiness in time is greater than holiness in space because God, we cannot identify that space for God, but we can at least try by acknowledging God's name and essence, understand God in time, at least understand what it is. So, and it's the very essence of what went into building that Mishkan that determines the holiness of Shabbos to know what we don't do on Shabbos, those things that went into building the Mishkan. Okay, because at the end of Shmos, God keeps telling us, build me a Mishkan, and every time it says, but keep Shabbos. Right? So this holiness that Yeshayahu references here is what in a physical sense, he's telling Bnei Yisrael, you don't even realize what you are messing up by not living up to your mission of holiness. Okay? So let's go back to where it says 1a, and let's take a quick look at Rashi. So Rashi says, "V'kara ze el ze." Do you see it? Notlin rishus ze mize. Sounds like our davening. Shelo yakdima echad biyaschil biyischayev sreifa. I just said that. The angels called together as one. Okay. Parenthetically, it's this pasuk according to the Medrash that teaches that God didn't let the angels sing Shira when the Egyptians drowned at the Yamsuf, because it says, Velo korav ze el ze kol halayla. In Pshat, it means the camp of the Egyptians didn't come close to the camp of the Israelites. But the drash is, and I'm not guessing this, because the Medrash says explicitly, Al tikre velo korav ze el ze kol halayla, ela velo korav ze el ze kol halayla. They couldn't sing their Shira because God didn't let them. Not because the Egyptians were already drowning, but because we were not yet out of trouble. Mm-hmm. And the Shira, if you wanted to know, what is the Shira of the angels? The answer is this. This is the Shira of the angels. So that when we say, Nikadesh es shimcha ba'olam, kishem shematishim oso bishmei marom, let us sing the Shira the same way that they are makdishim God bishmei marom up in the heavens, kakosuba yad nivyecha, as it says in the hands of your prophet Yeshayahu in this week's Haftorah, v'kara ze el ze v'yamar kadosh 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 Hashem tzokos melech ha'aretz kibodo. Right? I just read the opening line of Kedusha. Right? So Rashi says they must ask permission, otherwise they'll burn up. Okay? Right, so that's how they join together. Okay, Ella imkein pashu kulam keechod. Except if they all open up together, v'zeu shiasad biyotzer or kedusha kulam keechod onim veomrim beyira. Okay, let's see now the sources of kedusha on page 2. You all have it. Okay. Okay, everybody see it? All right. Okay, so it says in the Kedusha source number 2, V'nosnim reshus ze lo ze, they give permission to one another, lahakdish liotzram, to mekadesh, their creator, benachas ruach b'safa v'ra v'ni'ima. Now, there are in some Sidurim, you'll actually see this, that it's benachas ruach b'safa v'ra, stop, uv'ni'ima kedosha kulam ke'echad onim v'yomim b'yira. Right? But here it's benachas ruach b'safa v'ra v'ni'ima. B'safa v'ra is a terminology found in the Tanakh in Sefer Tzfanya. V'ni'ima is a very, I prefer ni'ima kedosha just to make it congruent, but ni'ima is very interesting. It means that this was meant to be sung. These things, you're supposed to sing this. This is Shira. This is the Shira of the angels. Okay? And the fact is there's some who have the minhag that you don't say the Shira on Saturday night in Batzah Kadosh. You don't say that out loud because the angels don't sing their Shira at night. They only sing their Shira during the day. There's a medrash that there's an angel that's fighting with Yaakov, right? When the angel finds out that it's morning, it says, please send me away. It's time. I have to go. And Rashi writes there in Parshas Vayishlach, he has to go sing his Shira. What's the Shira? It's starting to get to be day. He has to say the Karazel Zev Yamari. He has to join the other angels to say Kedusha. And whenever we say Kedusha, we make reference to the fact that we're joining the angels in doing so. בחלום מקבלים עול מלכות שמיים זה מזה, ונוסנים רשוס זה לזה. Right? They give permission to each other, להקדיש ליוצרם בנחס רוח, to praise their creator. And כולם כאחד עונים ואומרים ביראה, and kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Fine. Now, let me introduce you to another thing now. We just got finished describing what Yeshayahu's angels do. There are other angels that also praise God in the morning. They are Yecheskel's angels. They are not Serafim. They are Ofanim v'chayos HaKodesh. The Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, writes about 10 different angels. He writes all about what these 10 different groups of angels do. And he says the highest level of these 10 angels are Ofanim v'chayos HaKodesh. He derives this from Yecheskel. Ofanim from the words ofnayim, bicycle, wheels. They are the wheels of the chariot that Yechezkel speaks of in his first chapter. That's going to be when we get up to the Torah of Shavuos. So those ofanim, you see something in common here? On Shavuos, we also read the Aseres HaDibros. So it says Aseres HaDibros in Yisro is Yeshayahu's angels. The Aseres HaDibros in Shavuos, we read about Yechezkel's angels. Veschanan, when we read Aseres HaDibros, that's already a whole different Haftorah because that's already the seven Haftorahs after Tisha B'Av. So these are now Yecheskel's angels who are called Ofanim v'chayos HaKodesh. Barash Gadol, and great Ra'ash, great noise. Remember that I told you about the earthquake before. Misnas'im le'umas serafim, le'umasam mishabchim ve'omrim baruch kivod Hashem imkomo. There is a tension going on here. There is some degree of tension between these two angels. Yeshayahu's angels are called Serafim, and they say God, the universe is filled with God's kavod. The Ofanim and Chayos HaKodesh are higher than the Serafim, and they say, you're making a mistake. You cannot say the universe is filled with God's kavod. You know why? Because Baruch Kevod Hashem Mimkomo. You can't fill the universe with God's kavod. The universe is the head of a pin with regards to God's kavod. The universe is a space. If you want to talk about God's kavod, you have to talk about time, not space. Right? Don't say Maloch Ol Aretz Kivodo. How can you say God's kavod now fills the universe? No! God's kavod exudes through the universe. Baruch Kivod Hashem Mimkomo. Right? So that in our Kedusha, look at source number 3, we say, Nekadesha Shimcha Ba'olam, Kishem Shemakdishim Oso B'Shmei Marom, Kakasuv Al-Yad Nebiyacha V'Korazel Zev Yamar. This sounds very much like what we said before. By the way, you see it says, congregation, then chazan. Mm-hmm. You see that? 3, mm-hmm. And in 4. 4 is the Kedusha of Shabbos Shachris. Right? You see it?
Mm-hmm.
That's also... It says congregation, then chazan. You see that, everybody? Take a look at the newer, only Hebrew art scrolls. They're both 3 and 4 come from the English translation art scrolls. Look at the Hebrew art scrolls. It says, you see a difference where it says Nekadesh Shimcha Ba'olam? You see it? What did it change in the Hebrew? Anybody, what does it say there? I hope you have this. It says Kahal v'chazan.
Together.
Kahal v'chazan, together.
Together.
This is the Hebrew art scrolls. It's called the Kol Tzvi, I think it is. Yitzchak Tzvi, something like that. So it deserves its own shir. The Hebrew alone art scroll has corrected about 10, 12, 15 different things that the English does that the Hebrew one thinks it is wrong. You're not supposed to say congregation, then chazan. You have to say this together.
It's so obvious.
You're supposed to say this together like the angels. And then all together, kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Mm-hmm. And only the chazan says, l'umasam baruch yameiru. Beyond those angels, now new angels say, baruch kibod Hashem mimkomo, as I said, right? Now, what comes out? Now it says, uvedivrei kodshecha kasuv lemor. Uvidivrei Kodshecha. Who's this Kodshecha? It's David. David the Melech in Tehillim. It says, Yimloch Hashem Leolam Elokayach Tzion Nador Vador. Hallelujah. Why Tehillim? Why are we bringing in Tehillim? I had Yeshayahu's angels. I have Yechezkel's angels. And now we're saying Tehillim, a human being? Why am I quoting human being at this point? Why do I need another pasuk? Right? So because this is what we're trying to say. What angels do, we can do also. Right? Can we reach the level of an angel? No, we can't. But if what they do is to declare the holiness of God, hey, we can do that. The Zohar has a fascinating picture of this, that the Seraphim are made of fire. In order to bless God, they have to go to a lava mikveh first. They have to dip in a volcano, right? They have to take the fire in their hands, in each hand, from the lava, and do this. What? Look at my face. Take lick the fire like this on the tongues, and only then are they on the madrega that they can bless God and say kadoshka, they can sing shira. And then the Zohar says an amazing thing. You can see what this is all about. The angels can't sing their shira above unless we're joining them below. If there is no minion in the world where Jews are saying Kedusha, then the angels don't get to sing Shira. I don't know. In March and April and May, I know that there were minyanim in Israel that were going on because they didn't want to say there's no minion on planet Earth. It has to be a minion of Jews saying Kedusha. Otherwise, the angels can't say their Kedusha. Right? A little presumptuous on our part, isn't it, for a human being? But that's how the Zohar presents it. Okay, and that's what the bracha ledor vador nagid god lechal neitzach nitzachim kedushas chanan kish. Right, this is our calling to bring holiness to the world. And if we're not doing it, there will always be a Yeshayahu who will call us out on it. Right. So I have Yeshayahu pasuk. I have the Yechezkel Pasuk, and I have the Tehillim Pasuk, to show that we can sing the same Kedusha. Okay? All right. Now, I don't mean in what I'm about to do to call for an emendation, but if you look at source number 4, which is the Kedusha of Shacharis, Shabbos morning, you see it? Source number 4, it says, Nikadesh Shimcha, like all the other Kedushas, Kishim Shema, Kishim Aso, Bishmei Ram, Kakasuv, and Yivyachav, Kroselz, Zev Yomar. And then it says, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos, Meloch HaLoretz Kivodo. Okay, we bless God like Yeshayahu's angels. Now on Shabbos, we add some material, right? It says, Oz Bekol Ra'ash Gadol, right? Sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
Then in a astounding voice, great Ra'ash. We always like, always mentions Ra'ash, these Kedushas. What is this Ra'ash? What's this noise? Right? Ra'ash Gadol, Adir V'chazak. Mazeh. Mazeh. I looked up in a concordance. This terminology never appears in Tanakh. It doesn't even appear in a Medrash. What is Adir V'chazak? Adir hu yivneve savakara. What is adir? Meaning, what the two words just don't fit together. Right? Adir v'chazak is describing the voice. Adir v'chazak mashmim kol. Then in an astounding voice, endearing and strong, they lift up their voices. Misnasim lu masrafim lu masam baruch yomeru. They go beyond the srafim. By the way, can you look at this whole line here and say, who is going beyond the Srafim? In Shacharis, in source number 2, it tells me who's going beyond the Srafim. What are they called? Remember the highest angels? What did we call them?
Ofanim, yeah.
Ofanim and Chayos HaKodesh, right?
Uh-huh.
If you look back at source number 2, it says, Kadosh, 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 Shem says Malachos Kivado, Ve'ofanim v'Chayos HaKodesh, Barash Kadol Misnasim, right? But in this one, Oz Bekol Rash Kadol Adir V'Chazok Mashmim Kol. What's missing from this line? It never says whose voice this is. It doesn't say. It just says, in an astounding, booming, endearing, and powerful voice, they lift up their voices beyond the Srafim. Who? Who is this? The Kedusha Sayotzer wasn't afraid to tell us who they are. Who are these people? Or these angels? So here is what I... You see what I underlined? Adir v'chazak? If that would be Rosh Tevos, you would write it Aleph Vav Ches, right? Adir v'chazak. I think that a mistake crept in with the Rosh Tevos, where Aleph Vav Ches was supposed to be Ofanim v'chayos HaKodesh. Oz b'kol ra'ash gadol, Ofanim v'chayos HaKodesh mashmi'im kol. Misnasim li'umas rafim li'umasam baruch yomeru. Then it would read just like the Kedusha Seshachar. You see it, everyone? I don't mean to, after all these years of saying Kedusha this way, to call for a change. No, we don't do things like that. But I'm just saying that it looks like the words Adir v'chazak, which have no source whatsoever, and I couldn't find them anywhere. It should be someplace, you know, Sofa Brewer appears since Fanya, right? Adir v'chazak is just a strange terminology. Okay, but if it meant, you know, usually in when people wrote things a long time ago, they wrote it with Rosh Tevos. So Aleph Vav Ches originally meant to tell us who are these beings that are voicing their loud and endearing, right? Their loud Rosh Gadol, their cacophonous voices above that of the Srafim. They're the Ofanim v'Chayos HaKodesh. Well, that was mistaken to read Aleph Vav Ches of Adir v'Chazak. Okay, everybody good?
Huh.
All right. So again, you have now a long additional refrain about hoping for God to declare Himself in the world, because that's what it's all about, is to bring God down to the world, right? And to let people see that they have a chance to be holy. And again, we quote from Tehillim, Al Yedei, here it says David, Al Yedei David Mashiach Tzidkecha. In the regular Shmoneh Esrei, and during the week, it just says, Uvidivrei Kotshecha Kasuv Leimor. Here we say, Al Yedei David Mashiach Tzidkecha, Yimloch Hashem Olam, Elokeach Tzion, Ador V'Dor, Hallelujah. Okay, source number 5 is just the weekday Kedusha. I just wanted to bring it down to show that when it says congregation, then chazen, but then it's true, it's more correct to say congregation and chazen together. We don't want to be saying these words ourselves. We might burn up if we do that. Okay? So now take a look at page 3.
Question?
Yes.
Is it, you say you wouldn't want to replace it, but could you do both?
No. No, when it comes to liturgies, even if I could prove that there's a different liturgy that's more correct, first of all, it would take like a big Beis Din, you know, to take more than just a shear, you know, a Zoom shear to be doing such a thing. This sometimes happens where Tfilos had to be changed for various reasons, like the Jews dropping, the Ashkenazic Jews dropping, or the Ashkenazic Jews dropping that seems to have made some kind of a resurgence in some of the Sidurim and Aleinu. It would take something a lot more significant than a shear for me to call for such a thing. But maybe if someone found an ancient siddur where it said Ofanim v'chayos or something, that maybe something could be done. But other than that, I'm just saying this for the scholarship of it, not chas v'shalom to change any liturgies. We're very careful about maintaining traditions and liturgies. Okay, but I appreciate the thoughtful question. Okay, now the Kedusha of Musaf has all of these same trappings. The Korazel Zev Yamar, Kadosh, 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 right? L'masam Berchim Eru, or L'masam Shabchim V'omrim, Berch Kibod Hashem Im Komo. And then we have an additional line in the Kedusha of Musaf. What is this doing here? Mim Komo Hu Yifen Berachamim V'yachon Namam Yachadim Shemo, Erev V'vokev B'chol Yom Tamid Hamayim Baba Shema Omrim. You see what's happening here. We talk about mimkomo hu yifen berachamim. God leaves his place because of his mercy in order to look upon us and descend upon us. So that means, okay, we are bringing God down, right? And then we talk about each and every day, in the morning and at night, we say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So here we can also apply a bit of scholarship to say that the reason why we put Shema into the Musaf davening had to do with a very early, apparently Persian purge against the Jews saying Shema. The Persians believed in multiplicity of gods or dualism between Mazda and Hormuzd, the good god and the bad god, and they did not like our monotheistic ideal. And there was a time where they prohibited the recitation of Kriyat Shema. So the Jews had to look for some creative ways to put Kriyat Shema into the davening at different places, because they would put sentries on the doors, maybe former apostate Jews who joined the Persians, who would say, I know when they say Kriyat Shema, let's make sure they're not saying it. So the Jews would say Kriyat Shema early on in the davening, right? What's the bracha we say with that Kriyat Shema? Baruch atah Hashem, Mekadesh et Shimcha Barabim. Right? You say it there? Mekadesh et Shimcha Barabim. Because we're showing God, look how much we want to Mekadesh your name. We're willing to put ourselves in great danger, and we're going to put Kriyat Shema in any place in the davening where we could get away with saying it. Right? And then in some places, we would say it at the end of davening. Okay, they left. We can say Kriyat Shema now. Right? So that remnant is here in the Musaf of Shabbos. And we're bringing home the idea that we God, we're looking for many different ways to mekadesh you. And again, we conclude with uvidirei kodeshecha kasuv lemor yimloch Hashem l'olam alokach tzion l'dor v'dor haleluya, again from Tehillim. Okay. Now, just because since it might not be fair, since I'm always bringing in these Ashkenazi kedushas, just I want to give a shout out to our Sephardic brethren here who are listening. And I put in the Musaf. How you doing, Leon? I put in the Musaf of Shabbos. Keser yitnu lecha Hashem Elokeinu malochim hamoni mala imamcha Yisrael kivutze mata. But it's really making the same point. Who gets to put the crown on God's head?
It's us. It's
us.
Yeah.
It's us. Now, I'm sure you probably, especially Sephardim, it's part of your liturgy in different places, about the angels every day putting the crown on God's head and his throne. It's us. We're the ones who put the crown on God's head. Right? So that is just, that's an amazing thing. Right? That we get to crown God king. Who are we? We're little amoebas. And we get to crown God. Right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so it says, Yachad kulam kidusha lecha yishaleshu. So the three, I got to tell you, the star, the Jewish star that goes three and then three, and then the Kohen Levi Yisrael, to Torah Nevi'im Ketuvim, the fact that we received the Torah in the third month of Sivan, there are all these threes that you see in many different places. It could be that the Christians plugged into this with their, with their Trinity as well, but it's such a trespass of the whole original idea that God is the visible, and there's this Father, there's the Son. I don't want to get into it. It's treif. So, but what's interesting, I just want to tell you that the Ramah, right? The Ramah is the Ashkenazic commentary, right? The Beit Yosef is the Shulchan Aruch, and then in the Ramah, Rav Moshe Isserles wrote the Ashkenazic glosses to the Shulchan Aruch, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, by the way, it says in last week's parsha, Uvnei Yisrael Yotzim B'Yad Ramah. So, I don't know. It seems that the Torah itself says that. Yeah. So, Ramah explains why do we take off tefillin on Rosh Chodesh before Musaf? So,
it's already a sign. You don't need two signs.
Then we shouldn't put it on at all. Why are we putting it on at all? So the Ramah answer is because in the Kedusha of Rosh Chodesh, it says, Keser Yitznu Lecha Hashem Elokeinu. So when we talk about putting a Keser on God's head, shouldn't we be wearing our Keser? We're wearing tefillin, we're kings. So if we're going to crown God, we shouldn't be wearing our tefillin then. So first of all, that's a fascinating thing because the Ramah seems to be saying that that Ashkenazim was saying Keser. It's not only Yisfardim that take off the tefillin, but it's not the Ashkenazic minhag. So therefore, if an Ashkenazic Jew, Leon, do you say Keser in Rosh Chodesh? In Musaf?
I think we do. Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so if Ashkenazim keep their tefillin on for Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, big deal. So what? Just you shouldn't say Keser. You shouldn't say Kedusha with your tefillin on if you're saying Keser. But we Ashkenazim don't say Keser. We say Nekadesh et Shimcha Ba'olam.
Right, yes, right. Yeah.
So it's only if you say Keser. Apparently the Ramah had the minhag of saying Keser like the Sfardim on Rosh Chodesh. Okay. Now, here's an interesting thing. In Uva Letzion, look at source number 8. You see Uva Letzion, you see it? So there we say that this is known as Kedusha de Sidra. The Gemara in Sota says that the whole world stands on this Kedusha. You're about to go out to work, bring the Kedusha with you. So we say Kadosh, 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 Emtzvah, Zmelech, Oetz, Kibado, Makab, Lindain, Mindain, that's the Targum Yonasan that we read in the beginning. And it says, we bless God in the heavens, we bless God down here on earth, and then we bless God for all time. But now comes Yechezkel's angels, and they say more, they say better. Those are higher angels. And we go beyond the place. There's nothing called the simple trifle called the universe. You think the universe can contain the Ein Sof? No way. Even Einstein would be able to explain that. Okay? So then we say, Hashem yimloch le'olam va'ed. Now what happened here with this pasuk? Hashem yimloch le'olam va'ed. Until now, the pasuk that we cite
that
proves is Yimloch Hashem Leolam Elokeich Tzion Ledor Vador Hallelujah. Right?
Yeah.
Yimloch Hashem Leolam can mean Yimloch Hashem for the universe or forever. I think that when we say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, although all the English translations read Blessed art thou Lord our God, King of the universe, I don't think that that's what it means. There's a much greater way to bless God. Not King of the universe. Everlasting King. King of the universe. That's nothing. Everlasting King. It doesn't mean Melech HaOlam means King of the Olam, the universe. Melech HaOlam means King of the of all time. Everlasting. Olam means forever. Right? I think that's a better description. Or maybe it's both. Maybe it's both universe and all time and space. Okay? But notice what we do in Kedusha de Sidra. We change the Tehillim Pasuk to a Torah Pasuk. You see it? I wrote it on the side. Yishayahu Yechezkel Torah.
Excuse me, Rabbi Schwartz. Maybe it's also unknown, Ne'elam, Ilum, Ne'elam, not unknown, Elam, Be'alma.
Yeah, Rashi writes that in. Rashi writes that in. It's spelled without the vav in Shmos when he says zeshmi la'olam v'zezichri le'dor dor. Right in when Hashem tells Moshe at the burning bush what his name is. Right. Okay, so it's ne'elam. It's something that's hidden. Okay, something that we can maybe recite, but we can't understand what it means. That, right? Albert Einstein helped to explain it, so we can try to figure out how old the universe is, bending the arc of gravity and stuff like that, and time and space and the speed of light. You know? Good, very nice. Theory of relativity. Okay. But let me suggest that the reason why we changed from a pasuk in Tehillim to a pasuk in the Torah is because these three psukim, one from Yeshayahu, one from Yechezkel, one from Torah, excuse me, in Uvel Etzion have to have targumim. And as we all well know from the Gemara in the beginning of Megillah, Daf Gimel, there is no targum to Tehillim. There is no targum to Ksuvim. Ksuvim doesn't have a targum. Today you can open up a Makros Gedol Tehillim and see a targum, but it's not a traditional. It's authoritative. It's included in the Makros Gedolos, but it's not mentioned in the Gemara. So if I wanted to bring a third pasuk that talks about God everlasting, I'm not going to take a pasuk in Tehillim which doesn't have a targum. I'm going to take a pasuk from the Torah which does have a targum. But that begs the question. What question might this beg, everybody?
It's like removing David. It's
yes. What? Well, why not use the Hashem Yimloch L'olam Va'ed in Kedusha?
Yeah.
Why take from? After all, those psukim, right? Hashem Yimloch L'olam Va'ed. That was recited by Bnei Yisrael at the Yam Suf. Right.
Right. Yeah.
So on that score, there is a medrash that says that Hashem Yimloch L'olam Va'ed is sort of misspoken. What do you mean God will rule forever? God does rule forever. God is king forever. Hashem Melech L'olam Va'ed. That's what we say in our davening, Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch L'olam Va'ed. But just to say Hashem Yimloch L'olam Va'ed by itself, that might be misspoken. All right, but I want a targum, and I can't get a targum from a pasuk in Tehillim. Right, so the Kedusha in the morning, in the afternoon, in Shacharis, and in Mincha, that Kedusha is going to take from Tehillim. But if I want a Kedusha that has a Targum to it, I'm going to take from the Torah. By the way, look what the Targum does. The Targum isn't a straight translation. It says, Hashem Malchusei Ko'im Le'olam Olomei Omaya. Now and forever and forever. Okay, Ko'im means it exists now and forever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's the Targum Onkelos. Okay, let's get back to Yeshayahu. I cannot believe where the time has gone. Oh boy, there's a lot to do. So Yeshayahu looks at these angels, and then Vayanu Amos Hasipi Mikol HaKorei V'Abai Yisimol Yashan. The house is filled with smoke. What have I seen? I saw God. My eyes saw the actual king. And I don't deserve to see it because I have impure lips and I am in a nation of impure people. My people have impure lips. I don't deserve to see this. My people don't deserve to have one of their own see it. Why are you speaking against your people like this? Okay. Vayof Eli Echod min Hasrafim. So one of the Srafim, he must still be dreaming, right? Uviyado Ritzba. In his hand is a tongs. The Melko Chaim Lokach Me'al Lamizbeach. Ritzba is a coal. And he takes the coal with the tongs, the Melko Chaim Lokach. Vayaga Elpi, and he touches the coals to my mouth. That would make him a stutterer, right? He touched his mouth in his dream. He's still dreaming. Because if he was not dreaming, he wouldn't be able to see the Srafim. Okay? Only Moshe gets to see these things while actually awake. Right? He touched Yeshayahu's mouth, and he said, Vayaga al pi, vayamer, hinei noga ze al sfasecha, besar banecha v'chatascha techupar. I have removed your iniquity from you. Your sin has been atoned. And I heard God himself, not the angel, but I heard God himself say, who wants to go to my people and who wants to deliver this message? And I raised my hand and I said, Hineni shlocheini, send me. So that's why this is the beginning of Yeshayahu's prophecy, you see? He wasn't a prophet before this dream. What was the smoke in the house? So different Mephoroshim say either a sign of the destroyed Beis HaMikdash, if I don't get them to see the holiness, or, literally speaking, it was the angels, it was the earthquake that broke the hinges off the door. Okay? The houses shook and it brought out, dust was raised from the ground. What caused the earthquake? That you can look in Divrei Hayamim. Uzziyahu was a very good king early on. He became so haughty later on in his kingdom. He conquered so many lands and he was so successful that he wanted to bring Ketores in the Beis HaMikdash. He wanted to do the work of the Kohanim. The people begged him not to, but he insisted. And as soon as he brought up the Ketores, his forehead was stricken with leprosy, hence Itnaga. That's why he's considered dead. Bishnas Mos HaMelech Uzziyahu. And there was an earthquake in Israel. Earthquakes don't happen because of tectonic plates that brush up against one against the other. They happen because of a breach in morality. So Hashem's opening prophecy to Yeshayahu is, Lech b'mar tu l'amazeh, shimu shamoa v'al tavinu, ru'u ra'o v'al teda'u. Hashmein lev ha'amazeh v'aznav achbeid v'inav ha'shab, pen yireh v'inav v'aznav yishma, u'levavo yavin v'shavar afalo. V'mar ad masai Hashem. Yeshayahu was amazed. God, that's my first nevuah? To tell them that they should not listen? Don't prophets usually come to tell the people that they should listen to God? This is why this is not chapter one. You can't open a book with such a devastating prophecy. God tells Yeshayahu, I'm tired of being a sucker. I'm tired of changing my mind and giving them another chance. It doesn't work. The only way now is for me to punish them, to assure that they get some kind of punishment. And that could be the earthquake, right? I don't want them to listen. Okay. Va'omar ad Mosai Hashem. How long? Not how long do you want me to harden their hearts. How long are they not going to listen? Va'yomer ad asher im sha'u arim me'in yoshevu batim me'in adam v'hadama tish'esh mama. Which Shoah appears in this pasuk twice. Not until the cities are desolate and the people have been burnt out of their place. V'richak Hashem es ha'adam v'rabaha azubah v'kerav ha'aretz They're not behaving like the Kedusha that I wanted them to. Some see a reference here to the exile of the 10 tribes. But Yeshayahu really only speaks to Yehuda, but sometimes he has something to say to Ephraim. Okay? So this is the background of the Kedusha. And you see that in Yirmiyahu, that prophet on source number 9, he also opens up his prophecy with God telling him, right? If you take a look at Pasuk Tes, Vayishlach Hashem es yado vayaga alpi. Here, Yirmiyahu is not so enthusiastic about being a Navi like Yeshayahu was. Yeshayahu said, "He has sent me." Yirmiyahu turned it down. He doesn't want this. He knows that they're going to try to kill him for what he's being told to tell them. So Hashem touches, not with an angel, Hashem himself touches us not with tongues and a coal. He just touches his mouth directly and doesn't say, "Now I have healed you and I have cured you and I have purified you from your iniquity." Either because Yirmiyahu is too young to be iniquitous, or because he didn't just speak out against his people the way Yeshayahu did, by saying, I'm amongst the people of impure lips. Right? Yeshayahu needed to be cured of his impurity of speaking against his people. The Haftorah does a rare thing. It skips after it chapter 6 to chapter 9. And the fourth page has the end of the Haftorah where Yeshayahu describes an eight-named child with eight names, or some say four names. Right? A lot of polemics with Christianity about these names, whether it's a godly figure, whether it's a messianic figure, whether it's Jesus, or a lot of stuff on that. The best answer, besides a simple pshat, is that this individual here is supposed to save them from an impending threat from the Assyrians. Jesus was not alive at that time. Okay. The point of these descriptions and the salvation is to assure the people that they should put their faith in God now, right? And not to join a coalition with the Arameans against the Assyrians. What good is some virgin birth 600 years from now going to be to assure them of that? Right? And here the prophecy ends with an amazing Masoretic phenomenon. Look at Pasuk Vav in Source 11, Lamarbe HaMisra, with the Mem Sofit right there in the middle of the word. You see, source number 11? Mm-hmm. Lamar Bey, Mem Sofit. And the Gemara, source number 10, says, why is this Mem Sofit? Lamar Bey HaMisra, you see? This is Amar Tamchun, Darash Gav Kapara, B'tzipori, Mipnei Ma, Kol Mem Sheba Emtza, Teva Pesucha, Vizeh Sasum. Why is this Mem closed? So it's the Medrash answers, quite midrashically, that God wanted to make Chizkiyahu to be Mashiach, and it should have been then. But because he didn't sing Shira when Yerushalayim was saved, so Hashem says, no, they don't appreciate my salvation, so I'm going to have to wait. How do we know he didn't sing Shira? Because when God added 15 years to his life, there he does sing Shira, but when Yerushalayim was saved, you don't see anything. So the Mem of Mashiach, which is open for Mashiach to get out, was closed. So the Radak, source number 12, points out the opposite phenomenon in Nehemiah, where he talks about the breached walls of Yerushalayim, which are supposed to be closed. See, Ve'avi sover b'chamos Yerushalayim asher heim, you see that? Asher heim prutzim. See the mem of heim? Mm-hmm. That mem should be closed.
Right.
So we want the walls to be closed, we want Mashiach to be open, so we have to switch the mems. Put the closed mem of Yeshayahu in Nehemiah, and put the open mem of Nehemiah into Yeshayahu, and then I have closed walls, and open Mashiach. So the Radak says something amazing. He wrote this in the 12th century. 13th century. The Radak wrote this in the beginning of the 13th century. That And he couldn't imagine such a thing. At that time, the Muslims and the Christians were all duking it out over who can control Yerushalayim. And when the Muslims controlled it, they killed every Christian and Jew. And the Jew Christians controlled it, they killed every Muslim and Jew. So and the Jews were powerless in between. But the Radak writes that when we can control the gates of Yerushalayim and determine who comes and goes, that's when that means we're closing the walls of Jerusalem ourselves. That means we're on the way to opening the Mem of Mashiach. We close the gates, we open the Mem. Okay, which of course is true today. Okay, Hevra, the time just flew by. Thank you for coming this evening. I look forward to learning next week the Haftorah of, believe it or not,
Alam.
It is already Parsha Shkalim. Wow. Yep. That's next week. But there's so much to do next week. But what I would like to do, I know we have many years to possibly be doing this, but what I prefer to do next week is do what I did once before, which is to do half the Haftorah of Shkalim and half the Haftorah of what would be Mishpatim, which is from Yirmiyahu. Okay, so we'll do. We'll see if we have time for such an endeavor, but we'll try. And there's some great archaeology about the Haftorah of Parsha Shkalim. Remember the Shkalim tablets that were found? Maybe now it's already about 10 years ago. I think it's pretty much been debunked. It's been found to be a forgery. But it made all the papers at the time about the Yoash cleansing of the temple. They felt that they found tablets describing it. Okay, well, Mitzsham, we'll continue with that next time. Have a great day, everyone. I hope that is a little more meaningful Kedusha that you say every day now. Let's be like angels.
Yes.
All right. Let's say the Kedusha together. Now you see why, you know, it's good to even if you're just two people are davening together, they should say the Kedusha together.